Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's BadPod 249.
249. The powder is fine. That's right.
Powder's fine.
We have to record this episode early because I'm currently on my first ever ski trip.
Yes.
Stupid sexy Phil Wang.
Stupid sexy Phil Wang. Are you going to get a skin tight jumpsuit?
I don't think so. The ladies have real privilege here. I've been in like charity shops with stunning 80s ski suits for the ladies.
Yeah.
Nothing for the fellas. I'm going to have to go in like a puffy jacket and trousers. I'm going to look like I'm fucking going to on a hike or something, you know.
You could rent one, couldn't you?
Maybe. Although we've been told you rent some things. You rent helmets and poles and the skis themselves. I don't know about the actual outfit.
Yeah.
We'll find out. But anyway, that's all pretty minor stuff. Have you been skiing once before?
Yeah.
How do you find it?
I like.
Can
it.
I borrow your ski suit?
I was a young teen.
You would have been my size then.
Well, that is true. To my recollection, we rented everything. But did we rent a suit? Maybe I didn't. Maybe I just wore... But it would have been too cold. I'm not sure. I don't really remember. I liked it. It was tiring and it was good.
You've not gone back though. This is what frustrates me and I guess most people about skiing and why it's considered a privileged sport is that you have to buy all hundreds of pounds worth of stuff on the chance that you like it and go back and spend 100 more pounds to go back again. Otherwise you just have a pair of salopettes in your pantry.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life.
We didn't buy anything. I think we went to a very commercial, like at the bottom of the ski slope was a massive rental store kind of thing. It was like when you go do a seaside activity and they all have a big stinky rack of jumpsuits, of wetsuits.
Yeah, right.
You know, I remember something very much like that, but with big boots and padded suits. They're definitely helmets and boots and the actual equipment. And you just sort of lined up and rented your fucking thing, and they fitted it to you like in a shoe shop. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it was all very like it'd be unfair to say it was rough and ready, but I mean it wasn't like a butler came and fucking massaged your pantsuit onto you. It was very like hey, what do you want, you know?
Yeah.
Your shoes are too big. You have to have these shoes. And if they didn't have the size, then fuck you kind of thing. It was very get on with it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we weren't doing it in the most fancy possible way, but yeah.
Interesting.
I don't remember there being almost any other English people.
But I want to express myself, Pierre, with my clothing choices.
Oh, you want to be an interesting person on the slopes, do you? Instead of just warm. Well,
I've already got gloves that are like spaced out. What is it called when a sun dies? No, when it dies, what's left over? It looks a bit like supernova-y. It's like all these space clouds on it.
Oh, a nebula.
Nebulous. It's got a nebulous pattern on it, yeah.
What do you think other skiers will... This guy's from space!
Yeah. They'll think I'm an alien from a superior species and civilization. And I've come for a little holiday.
Oh, man.
I've watched one YouTube video on the basics of skiing, and I think I got it.
You think you're ready to go?
You know what I'm really excited about is the lifts. Those are cool.
Why are you excited about those?
It's a big machine, isn't it, that takes you up and down.
Yeah, it is a big machine. I can't deny that.
Yeah.
It is cool. I can't remember, because have you seen that you can get the ones which are just like a little stool between your legs?
Yeah, this is in the YouTube video. That looked awesome.
Yeah.
Like it's a little round plate on a rope, and you put it between your legs and your little gooch there, and it just drags you up the slope. That looks awesome. I want to do that.
Drag that by your fucking gooch. Yeah. I wonder,
I'm scared I'm going to get hurt, though.
Well, maybe. I mean, you might.
This might be the last ever episode of Bud Pod.
Don't go on like a diamond slope or whatever it is then. Just stay on the green. I'm guessing green is the easy one.
Yeah, according to this video, it's either green or blue. Depending where you are.
Okay.
Is the easiest. I'm going to stay. They're going to call me Green Boy. I'm going to be there all week.
Mm.
They're going to call me Green Bean. Yes, green. That'll be my catchphrase.
Yeah. Anyone can slip and break their arm, kind of thing.
No! I don't hear that. I've already broken my arm once.
Yeah. And now you're going to break it skiing with Willy Wonka.
No! Living in a Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
In my Timothy Chalamet.
In my Timothy Chalamet. Is he? What's the deal with his name? Is he?
Dad is French.
Ah. Mm. That explains why he looks like a little delicate boy.
I watched the other night. What's it with the two fellas there? Call Me by Your Name.
I watched that movie with the two fellas there. The old come and fuck my apple. Jizzing my fucking banana. Yeah.
It was excellent. I loved it. So good.
Really?
Really good. Really, the performances are brilliant. It's so beautiful. The setting is in a lovely bit of Italy. And it's so lovely. And the characters are nice.
I don't know if
And there's no great conflict. There's no enormous conflict. It's a very subtle conflict that the protagonists have to sort of overcome. And I like movies like that, you know? That just kind of... I kind of like meandery kind of movies.
It's a slice of life.
It's a slice of life. We've talked about this before. It's slice of life and coming of age.
Oh.
And coming in peach. But mainly a coming of age slice of life. They've combined the genres.
Here's a little visit to someone's life. Here's a slice of their life. Now it's over. You get to leave.
Doop de doop de deeve.
Yeah. I finished watching the terrible. It wasn't well. No, it was. Was it terrible? It's sort of the Netflix series that we discussed on Bonus Pod. I finished watching Fool Me Once, the Harlan Coben adaptation.
Oh yes, this is the sort of crime drama series set in Manchester, but seemingly set in California, because there everyone has guns and big houses.
Well, it's set,
and they say trunks.
Seemingly set in, I think it would have been set in somewhere in New England, because there's all sorts of stuff about like a fancy prep school.
Oh.
And things. And it's like, oh, they've tried to transpose. Even that dynamic doesn't perfectly transpose onto a British private school, because it's not quite the same.
The English actors in that must have felt insane.
Yeah. And
Joanna Lumley's in that.
Yeah.
If Joanna Lumley says garbage, I'm going to kill myself. someone's ringing the fucking door. I'm sorry. I'll be back in a second.
All right. Listeners, to catch you up while Phil's gone, basically, Harlan Coben has written loads of thriller books. Set in America. They're all set in America. And they only ever seem to get adapted for... Like, one's adapted set in France, I think. Two, I think, are in the UK. And there's a lot of mid-Atlantic confusion where high schools are presented as organizations that have money or flags. And everyone drives big trucks that have trunks, not boots. Gun racks and a house, totally normal. People who are in the army or who work for the police have big houses. This just doesn't really work. It doesn't stop it from working, but it doesn't really work in the sense that it's like If you're a shitty pedant like me, it bugs you. But yeah. It's something to do with finances, I guess. Like, oh, we can fund this because it is cheaper to make things in the UK, guys. If you're ever wondering why there's so many British actors last night at the Golden Globes. What did you get, Phil?
I swear, did I accidentally select an option on Amazon that said only ever deliver when I'm recording BudPod?
It does seem that way. It does seem like...
They wait in the bushes for me to set the microphone up and they're like, no.
What is it?
I've ordered one of those things from Amazon that's so small and flat, it makes you feel insane because you essentially posted a flat piece of cardboard.
Yeah.
Because I got some of them flat batteries.
Oh, no. Yeah. They do make you feel nuts.
Everyone's favorite, the code CR2032 batteries.
These are the
flat ones that you always forget exist. They go in watches and stuff.
But now, why order that at all?
They just look nice.
No, I mean like
I need to replace a battery in my my bag weigher device.
They sell them in like Tesco though.
Well, I don't know that for sure, and I just want it in my house.
Also, it's such a flat package. Why could he not fit that through your letterbox? Why is he ringing your doorbell?
Oh, because I have a little gate.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You live in a secret community.
I do. We live in a commune.
Phil is, I'm not sure what the official title is, but I guess you could call it like head father of the 200 or 300 filthy semi-nude people who live on the hollowed out hill.
That's right.
Yeah.
I am the only one in the muse who knows the truth about our savior.
And
if everyone gives me enough cups of sugar, I'll tell them. And the date they haven't given me enough yet, but they will soon.
Date of the spaceship.
Yeah. yes, the Goldie Globes.
I was just saying how I think one of the reasons that, because people are like, oh, well, if it's, I was looking it up on Twitter and people are like, well, if it's not meant to be set in England, why is it then? And it's like, well, these are people who don't understand how things get made. And I mean, I don't either, but I know more than they do. And it's cheaper to film things in the UK because we don't have a strong union for, say, crew. There's no Teamsters union here. And the actors are cheaper and they're all professionally trained because we just have so many drama schools pumping them out.
Yeah, we also have all the studios here. So in London, it just keeps building new studios.
Yeah.
Netflix has its own studios out here.
Yeah.
I mean, that Squid Game, that they made the real Squid Game. They don't actually die, but they actually make a reality Squid Game.
Yeah.
For Netflix. That was all filmed just outside of London.
Yeah, it all happens in the UK, and that's why so many things that seem foreign win BAFTAs. Because you go, why is that winning a BAFTA? That show's set in America. And it's like, yeah, but they actually 90% of the filming was done just outside of London in a big warehouse, and all the crew were British.
Wonka, my bit of Wonka was London. A lot of it was filmed in Bath. Yeah, man, it's all becoming very English.
But the actors are cheaper and easier to please. I've been told that part of it is that American actors, once they get to a certain level, they want a Winnebago. They have to go on strike when SAG goes on strike, whatever it is. It's a lot easier just to find a polite English person who won't make a fuss, and a cheap salary in America would blow their minds in the England. So they just hire all of those actors and they get something that's as well acted. It just needs to have different accents.
Yeah,
it must be what it's like
for
to
Hollywood. Imagine for your Hollywood, and out there in the Atlantic is this island full of cheap, excellent actors who don't demand anything. You go, okay, well, I'll just go there then.
I'm going to go to the fairy island and kidnap some of the elves that live there, and they'll do it.
The acting elves, the drama elves.
I'm going to go to that big theme park that is called England, where there's a crazy king and all the elves do drama, and I'll just round up a few of those mystical creatures. Yeah. It must be what it's like to be Austrian in Germany.
What do you mean?
Well, if the Germans want someone who speaks fluent German, they could just go to Austria. Like a smaller place that speaks the same language, you know?
Yeah. Do you watch the Golden Globes at all? I don't think can you do it? I don't think anyone watches. No one watches these award shows unless something terrible happens.
I mean, I heard that the comedian was terrible. But even then, I didn't watch it. I only heard that through Twitter opinions.
Yes, yes. It's a tough gig, those things. Especially when you're performing to superstars, celebs who all have cameras trained on them and who are all keen not to react in the wrong way to the wrong kind of joke.
Yeah, and if you do a joke about, let's say there's a movie with really shaky camera footage and you're like, oh, how fucking drunk was the guy who filmed that? Or oh, what was the deal with that? Whatever the joke is. And it cuts to the guy in the audience, the celebrity. You don't know, he might be friends with the director of photography, or he might, you know, there might have been an issue on set, or you don't know. So he can't, like, it's not a, or it's the least organic set of responses you could possibly have.
Yeah, absolutely. But then it did inspire me to watch the 2014 Golden Globes opening monologue by Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
So incredible. Just a gold standard for these things, for these monologues.
Yeah, classic just of the genre.
Exceptional. I mean, yeah. So that set had so many, like, classic jokes. Gravity's nominated tonight. Gravity's a movie about how George Clooney will literally float off into space and die, then spend one more minute with a woman his own age. Or like 12 Years a Slave one, where Amy Poehler goes, is an amazing movie, and you know what? I will never look at slavery the same way again. Anyway, and Tina Fey's like, wait, what? It's just so good.
Oh, man. That's how it should be done. That's how it should be done, Philip. I haven't watched the comedy, but everyone online says it's crap, and I've heard it's crap, and so what can I say? I have to accept.
I watched a little, like, couple of clips on TikTok last night. My girlfriend's TikTok. I want people to know I don't have TikTok.
You already send all your personal data to China.
Yeah, they already know everything about it. And yeah, it's a tough watch. It's a tough watch. It just seems like a comedian. The comedian's Joe Coy, who's a Filipino-American comedian, who's very, very big and among his own fan base, sells out arenas and stuff. But I would suppose not a natural fit for a sort of lovey Hollywood crowd. And, you know, a more, well, progressive-leaning Hollywood crowd. And yeah, the jokes did not land too well. They were not well prepared by he nor his writers. And it's a tough watch, man. As a comic, you know, you're always a comic first.
Yeah.
And you watch that and you go, ah, fuck, this is a bad gig. Woof. Feel for the guy.
Oh, man.
Imagine you're doing a gig and you're bombing and you look out and it's Harrison Ford and Christopher Nolan looking at you going,
like a dream. Woof. Like a bad dream.
I mean, we've all had bad corporates, but I imagine the people in the corporates are Lupita Nyong'o and Brad Pitt. You know, you go, oh, fucking hell, this is, I'm not going to forget this one.
Yeah, I can't brush this off as easily as I brushed off the risk trading awards. Or whatever one you've done. Yeah, gross. Can I be bothered to watch any of the clips? Maybe I will. It just feels like it's going to be like eating a big lemon in my mind.
If you get a sudden desire for a bit of Schadenfreude, then go for it. But
yeah,
it's a rough one.
What do you think you're going to fucking hate about skiing?
What will I hate about the early mornings? I have to get up every morning to get it, like get our lessons in before lunchtime.
Yeah.
I think being sort of. Otherwise, I'm quite looking forward to it. I like the snow. I like the cold. I like feeling cozy afterwards. I love that a lot. I guess the people. I like trying new things, but I don't like trying new things around experts and around people who are very proficient.
Yeah.
Watching, you know, feeling like I'm getting in the way of the people who are serious about this. That's what I'm not looking for.
But that's, no, that'll be fine, because that's why there's different slopes.
That's true.
You're going to be completely siphoned away to the fucking, you're going to be, what might annoy you is getting absolutely fucking dusted by a bunch of 10-year-olds.
That I'm also worried about.
All these continental children just going, fucking.
I had an experience like that in an ice rink in Berlin. My first ever time on ice skates. just kept falling over. And every time I did, these little kids' skates would like be would whiz by my fingers like a millimeter away. It's really scary. They're just whizzing around you. They're so good, and they're like 5 years old.
It's such a being a good ice skater is so differently coded, to use internet talk, in Europe versus in North America. I feel like being good at ice skating in Europe is slightly fancier, whereas in North America, yes, it's just like blue collar hockey thugs.
That's right. Yeah. It feels very, very posh in Europe.
But certainly in the UK.
Do you ever get this thing where you see a kid who's really good at something like ice skating and you get annoyed at your own parents for not taking you ice? You're like, what the fuck? Why didn't they take me ice skating? I mean, yeah, I was in Malaysia, but that's not an excuse.
That's not an excuse. We had fridges, didn't we? We had freezers. You could have just put ice skates on and stuck your feet into the freezer, kind of wiggled around.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
But I think I'm looking forward to it. I love snow. I love cold.
Yeah.
And I love chalets and sort of coziness and pine trees. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you're a Malaysian prince, so you prefer comfort above all else.
Comfort is most important in life.
Yeah. How would you consider wearing perhaps elaborate sort of sheepskin underpants or something, just to sort of constantly be comfortable in day to day?
Well, in just regular life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never. Yeah, I'd like some fleece pants.
Why don't you just start dressing like a kind of swirling, Eastern prince, like just all loose fabrics and.
Oh yeah,
that's
and like a long sort of Chinese style ponytail.
Yeah.
All the way down to my ass, and.
And you could just be like
flutters behind me as I hurl down the slope. That'd be so cool.
But yeah, I just mean in normal life, are you maximizing your daily comfort?
No, I guess not. I now wear very comfy clothes. I don't wear trousers with belt loops anymore.
Yeah.
All my trousers are tie things, are string tied or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm very jealous. And you sent me the website where you buy them from. And they just don't make them for giant men like me.
Yeah, it must be tough.
They get really close.
A big hipped man.
Just not quite. If I want to wear drawstring black cloth trousers of some kind, then it's like tracksuit bottoms. It's like the kind of stuff you wear when you have the flu.
You do always look like you're recovering from something.
Yeah. But yours aren't made out of the same cloth, whereas your drawstring trousers, I would always expect them to have a belt loop. Huh?
We're not cut from the same cloth. Yeah, you know.
No. But your trousers always, I thought they were proper trousers until I saw you would lift up your jacket, vring, and reveal that they were actually slouch pants the whole time.
Every time I flashed a crowd, you'd see and go, hey, those aren't fancy pants at all.
Hang on a minute, because the fabric did look a bit trousery, and they were quite straight lines down your legs. They weren't rumpled or billowing.
It's all part of the illusion, Pierre. It's all part of the con.
I would have bet my life you were wearing real trousers.
No, the whole time. All string tie fucking soft loungy pants.
You're on
That's
stage.
What they call me, soft loungy pants.
You're on stage in what the Scots would call your comfies.
But this is a post-lockdown thing, right? That comfies have become acceptable outside the home.
I think depending on where you live, I mean, in some parts of the UK, wearing a full tracksuit everywhere you go has been de rigueur for quite a while.
That's true. Manchester?
Wolverhampton, famously, and Tom Stade's stand-up routine about Wolverhampton.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, there's always... There's
Manchester's
always...
Adidas, isn't it?
Huh?
Manchester's Adidas and London's Nike.
Yes, maybe that's right. I'm not sure.
I think that's the divide.
All my information
If you're in an Adidas tracksuit, you're from Manchester. If you're in a Nike one, you're from London.
Do you think?
I think that's it. I think that is the divide. I'm gonna put it up.
Yeah,
and
north south.
I think, like, you know, Oasis always wear Adidas.
In the early noughties, Phil, it was Kappa all the way. Do you remember Kappa?
Kappa.
Yeah.
No.
I think they're the back-to-back ladies.
Oh, KAPPA.
Yeah, KAPPA.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, that was the big thing in the noughties.
Oh. Yeah, I must have missed it.
Well, you were ice skating in Malaysia.
I've only recently become interested in fashion.
Wow, this is comfort fashion.
Comfort fashion.
But when we were on the road, every service station we stopped at had an all tracksuit clad family.
Well, that's true. Okay, I'm not finding any official confirmation of this Adidas Manchester London Nike thing. Maybe it's unofficial.
I think when I see an all tracksuit clad family, I want the tracksuits to not be grey. That's my preference.
Yeah, that's too depressing. That's too depressing.
A grey...
All right, I found for Britain's sneakers, your city defines your footwear selection. And Manchester does get Adidas. So there. I was right, and I'm right about everything else as well.
But these families, I want a whole family in tracksuits to be like the Royal Tenenbaums, or like Daniel Muggleton, comedian friend of the podcast.
You need like a tennis headband at the same time.
Yeah, no, I mean like red with white Adidas stripes, like distinctive, like a look, a planned idea. Whereas when I see a group of three people or four people or five people in the grey flannel tracksuits like I'm literally wearing now, to me... These are, I'm not leaving the house, I'm doing quite a lot of farting clothes.
Yeah. They're the color of farts, actually.
Yeah. I agree with that. Whereas if they were all in black tracksuits or red or blue, or you'd be like, wow, you guys are training for some sort of family Olympiad.
Yeah, you must be going on the Crystal Maze or something.
Yeah. You're going to do a sort of circus display.
Yeah.
You're called like the Amazing Grundlesons or something.
Also, speaking of clothes and families and children, this is very minor, but there was a news story about this a plane in America that a bunch of them have been recalled because mid-flight, one of the windows or doors just blew off.
Yeah, have you seen the picture?
Yeah, just a hole in the plane.
Just a big hole in the side of the plane.
Big old hole in the plane. And no one was hurt, but a young boy's shirt was sucked off. It's just an image.
What?
Yeah, I think there's like a boy, and you know, the thing goes up, and everyone's screaming, and he's like, and his shirt is fluttering in the wind, and apparently his shirt just got sucked off him.
I'm choosing to believe that it happened immediately, like whoosh,
thunk.
That's such a fucking Simpsons thing to happen.
Maybe my favorite story, man, of the year.
That would happen to Milhouse or Martin Prince.
Exactly.
And he'd go, ooh, and cover his little bosoms.
We should maybe do some correspondence, get a couple of minutes ahead on it.
Yes, let's.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
Who is this? It's Tom.
Tom has got DOMS from working out so much because he's so buff.
Oh,
that's
nice.
What it's called, right? DOMS.
DOMS. Yeah, I've got some today.
Nice. I saw my PT earlier today. I'm getting pumping up, jacking up. I'm so full of meat. I'm making more meat.
Yeah.
I'm making some inside meat. This is what I say when I apply for a new PT. I'm like, yeah, they ask me my goals and I say I'd like to increase my inside meat. I'd like to make more inside meat. And they hate that.
That's really gross. I want more meat inside me. That's what you should have said. We would have got some interesting responses. Too much of my body isn't meat.
I want to make more me meat.
I want to make more me meat. Inside meat is such a horrible... That would be like the Anglo-Saxon way of saying muscle. Tom says, dear pee-pee-poo-poo men who live in my phone.
We do. Let us out.
Yeah, don't let me out. I like all the apps.
It is fun. But scary.
So he sends us a lovely paragraph of redacted praise that also where he also admits that he's too lazy to figure out how to sign up to the Patreon even though he wants to. Which is fair enough.
Yeah. This is where nudge theory comes into play. How do we nudge Tom? How do we nudge Tom? Go on, Tom, do it.
Nudge, nudge. Nudge, nudge, stink, stink. So Tom says, I write to you from Paris clandestinely. Overtly.
La Résistance.
Oh, he must mean covertly. Yeah, La Résistance. Not with invisible ink or a cipher, no, but it is hidden away from the prying eyes of others. In this case, my frog-eating colleagues and employer.
I love an old-school insult about another nationality.
It's like funny.
Frog-eating is so, like, 80s, I love it. Frog, the bloody frogs.
Indeed,
frog's nice.
I'm writing.
I think I've had a frog leg or two before. It tastes like chicken.
Yes, I
it's
think
like
I've
tender chicken.
Have I tried them? I think I have tried one. Maybe I tried one off your plate.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe. Indeed, I'm writing brazenly on the large monitor at the center of the glass meeting cubicle I booked in the offices where I work. A cubicle,
wow.
Yeah.
A large monitor in a
in the center of a cubicle.
Right. So it's like booked a meeting room.
Yeah.
Hmm.
A cubicle like a glass glittering gilded cage, what? That rewards and enslaves me.
I don't understand. That must be a French term.
He must have translated it literally from the French.
Yeah, I'm sure it makes French. I'm sure it makes sense in French.
Yeah.
Gilded cage, but in English, it's gobbledygook.
No, because something that rewards and enslaves you, it doesn't make sense.
No. Surely you can only have one.
Yeah, you can only have one. I feel giddy using work time, resources, and equipment to do this. In front of everyone, sometimes I make eye contact with a colleague passing the room, and my heart jumps at the thrill of it all. It is tantalizing. Voyeuristic. Will I be caught? No, the glass of the cubicle hides the screen from others via some clever trickery I don't understand. From outside
like
the glass
way.
Cubicle, the monitor is blank. Cool.
What?
Yeah, special glass.
That filters out, like, maybe it must filter out a particular
wavelength,
not frequency, but like wave pattern or wave from the computer screen. How clever!
Yeah, how cool is that?
Maybe it must be a polarized, kind of like a kind of polarizing kind of glass, which is, you know, how the original that's how 3D glasses work. Do you know this? So a 3D movie has two images on it, basically, right? And that's why when you don't have the glasses, it's these two images. And basically, if your left eye sees one image and your right eye sees the other image, it creates an illusion of depth, because that's what happens in the real world. The images between your right and left eye are slightly different, and that difference your computer computes to be the distance.
Yeah.
Right? And that gives you depth. In a 3D movie, that two images are projected into the screen, but they are polarized. Meaning, so basically, light comes at you in waves. I think the model is, you can imagine light comes at you in two waves perpendicular to each other. So imagine a T of waves coming at your eyes.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And that is the wave form of the light. In the 3D movie, one image is just the vertical wave and the other image is just the horizontal wave. And you wearing polarized goggles, the left lens only allows in the vertical wave. It's got these micro nano slits, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Only lets in the vertical wave. So your left eye only gets one image. And then the right lens only lets in horizontal waves. And so you get the right image. And so your brain gets two different images and it thinks that they're at different distances.
And that's why it makes me feel sick.
One of the worst headaches I ever had was after watching Toy Story 3 3D.
Yeah.
One of the worst headaches ever. Horrible.
I think
great movie.
I went to watch something, maybe even Avatar in 3D, and I think there was a point where I just took them off because I was like, I'd rather watch it as a kind of fucked up blur.
Yeah, they've not quite fixed that.
No.
Also, my first time wearing VR goggles, the worst headache ever.
Ugh. I don't like it.
It's almost like it's not natural. It's not right.
It's not. It's God. God does not wish us to do this. From outside the glass cubicle, the monitor is blank, protecting what should be client-sensitive information. But maybe someone will see if they walk in and see the word shit and poop written in large letters across multiple screens in the room.
No. Is this the Johnson file? Shit and poop?
Wait a minute, the shit and poop account is only coming in next week. God, I normally feel like a twat in here, but today I feel alive. This is my first piece of correspondence to you. Alas, I do not have great fecal fables to share with you and the other children of dirty little boys and girls. I am, in fact, of a similar stock and breed as Pierre, South African, I think he means. Although I am diminutive, the runt of this biltong-eating brethren.
Ah.
But what we share is a fortified belly that holds strong against the onslaught of shelled fishes, expired dairy, and too long refrigerated leftovers.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Like an iron belly, like me.
Yeah, but the thing is, then he says, despite this, I have shat myself many a time.
Oh.
But that can't be true.
This doesn't add up.
This doesn't add up. Get back into your French cubicle and add this up again.
Something's fishy, and I don't just mean all the mollusks Tom's been eating.
That being said, my bowels do not produce solid stools.
Oh.
That doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't. I wonder if Tom is in denial about the robustness of his digestion.
I think he just means he's never thrown up.
Right, right, right.
Because it's sounding pretty bad gutsy to me here, Tom. Let's just say the International Fraternity of Iron Bellies would be not too pleased with these results.
No, there would be an internal review of your internal repoo, for sure.
Yeah. He says his plops are more aptly named sloshes.
Oh,
yeah.
See a doctor. See a doctor.
He refers the process that of pooing as softly piping. That's how he describes it, Phil. Awful Bake Off terminology. Horrible. You perhaps object that I do not have an iron belly hearing this, but I maintain it in defiance to you and your listenership. It is how I poop, simple and true.
That's just how he poops is all very wet and...
Yeah, apparently so. He's just a big wet bag of fucking icing. But he claims that... I guess it's consistent.
Yeah. Maybe his body's just not good at absorbing moisture. Is he always thirsty?
Yeah.
Does he always need water?
I guess he's correct in the sense there's no variation in his not good stuff. Mm. He's fascinated, he says, by people that do these the always floating poos.
Right. Yeah. They're not always floaters. It's very annoying when they are, but they're not always.
Well, he says he claims his girlfriend is always creating things that float and is also a scruncher and a standing wiper.
Okay. What, the girlfriend or Tom?
The girlfriend.
Okay. Has she allowed this information to be shared?
Apparently so. I mean, she first allowed it to be shared with her own boyfriend, which is already surprising to me. Do you know what a scruncher is, Phil?
Yeah, it's how you use toilet paper. Do you scrunch it or do you fold it?
Yeah, exactly. So she's a standing scruncher floater.
Standing scruncher floater. Yeah, I mean, why not? Whatever floats your boat or poop in this situation.
I once had to send her a picture of her own creation, which had failed to flush in my parents' downstairs loo when we were visiting.
Oh, come on. Romance is dead.
Yeah, what the hell? I wouldn't dare ever. even consider. She was not used to the weak water pressure, which my whole family knows renders a single flush useless against even the daintiest of dumps. She accidentally left it there, menacing to the next person.
Is this why his family has adapted to never have a solid shit? Because their toilets can't handle it?
They're called...
Maybe... Yeah. Is this natural selection in motion?
Mm. Yeah. They've sort of gone, well, we never need a big flush because we're just a bunch of absolute wet bags.
Wet South African bags.
The whole family is just fucking piping icing into the bowl.
Ugh, stop it.
Luckily, the next person was me, and we are both victims of sometimes scrolling upon that photo in our respective galleries. Until I have inspiration for a magnum poopus, because he says he's sad that he doesn't have a dramatic shitting story.
I mean, we've already spoken about it a lot, so it feels like he has.
Yeah, he's definitely
into
the topic.
For someone with no poo stories, we've been talking about poo for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah? I can recount the time I mistook my own arm for a rat.
Now we're talking.
Ah, we're cooking. Like the belly sleeping Tom, a recent correspondent of yours who inadvertently began to strangle himself with his sleeping but convulsing hand.
Very funny.
Very funny. I too slept, adopting the more sensible side sleeping position, and trapped a nerve in my arm.
Ugh.
I woke with my arm heavily draped across my face.
Oof. Oh, such a weird feeling.
Yeah. I was visiting my parents at the time, who live in a remote, isolated part of the South African countryside. Sugarcane rats are not uncommon intruders in your bedroom.
Oh, interesting.
So cane rats are big. You must have had them in Malaysia.
No. Do we grow much sugar cane?
Or maybe you don't grow it.
Yeah, I think so. But I never saw... Yeah, we saw big rats, but in the city. Nothing huge. How big are we talking?
Yeah, pretty big.
Yeah, Pierre's making... Okay, so it's about the size of a big watermelon.
Yeah. So it's a specific breed. How big is that? They look quite cute compared to... No, they're really big. Yeah, they're like a cat.
Oh,
look there, that's the
picture.
Whoa.
Yo, they're like possums.
Yeah, it's like a... It feels unfair to call it a rat. They're in their own family, apparently.
So they're not even part of the... They're not even part of the rat family.
I think they're an extended relative, but they're their own kind of guy. They're nice pretty one. Weird looking. Yeah, anyway, so Google it unless you fear rats, in which case don't. Cane rats are not uncommon intruders in your bedroom, although they rarely snuggle up close to your face. In the pitch dark and in a panic, I threw what I thought to be a sleeping rodent from my face, only to have the hand that it was pull tight on my arm and spring back to hit me in the face. Ah! Boo! Ah!
The revenge of the rat.
Wow, that rat's got big hands. That's what he could have thought. He threw the rat off its face and it slapped him with a big human hand. Don't throw me!
Don't be rude!
Hey, don't be rude. I had screamed loudly in the dark and panted for a few minutes until, embarrassed, I realized what had happened. Fortunately, none of my family came to check.
Well, that's good. Yeah. It's good to know if you were screaming and being attacked by something and your family would not wake up.
Especially in a South African bedroom.
Yeah.
That's concerning to me. Comforting to have avoided embarrassment, although disconcerting that no one thought to check on me.
There you go.
Hopefully inspiration will strike me soon and I will shit myself in a way I can be proud of. Forever yours and forever jacking it, Tom.
Well, it sounds like it's not far off if your bowels are how you describe.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time, young Tom, only a matter of time.
Have you ever woken up and thought there was a creature in your bedroom?
Yeah, I've had the hag before, you know, that sleep paralysis hallucination.
Oh, yeah.
Someone in the room with you.
Of the sort of group of four friends that is me, you, George Four Acres, and Jason Forbes, all three of you have had fucking demons visit you at night, and I'm the only one without apparitions.
You've never had it?
No.
Interesting.
I've had dreams.
Yeah.
Oh, I've had dreams, Philip. I've had nightmares.
Yeah, this is sort of a halfway house between dreaming and waking.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've had a common one, which I've had a few times, is a feeling of someone being sat on your bed while you're there. It feels like the bed is sort of being pressed down by someone sitting on the edge.
Yeah.
It's very vivid. Or like a fold in the duvet being a witch, and she's peering over me going... Yeah, I've had it a few times. It's usually if I haven't slept well, if I'm very tired or jet lagged or something, or something weird.
Yeah.
Then it happens. But it's a long documented phenomenon. There are many different names for it in different cultures.
Oh, there's lots of paintings of goblins sitting on people's chests and all kinds of things. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, no apparitions for me. I've thought that like piles of clothes on the back of a chair was a fucking person and all the usual stuff, but that was when I was kind of waking up as opposed to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we just get trapped in that state.
Yes, yeah.
And I guess you don't.
But yeah, I'm surrounded by people who are fucking possessed. I should figure out why. It must be that amulet.
You are the exorcist. You have to turn up. Next time we all hang out together, you have to turn up in a long coat and a wide-brimmed hat.
Yes, and I should do a really big angry speech before going ha and slapping your foreheads, and you fall, and you guys all fall backwards on the floor, jiggling like in a mega church.
Have you ever witnessed what is it called when they take the ghost out of you?
An exorcism.
Yeah, ever seen an exorcism? Live!
No. I've seen sort of faith healing be attempted. I've seen that live. Okay. But it wasn't like... It was quite tame. It wasn't proper like African megachurch style.
Yeah.
Full crazy or like snake handlers, like those crazy southern USA guys. How about you?
No, I think I've seen videos of crazy ones happening. I think, yeah, mainly in African megachurches.
Yeah, yeah. The videos are amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or like in America, these, you know, they put a hand on them and they heal this person's brother by making the ghost leave them. It doesn't really make any sense.
No.
But the people are so into it that they just start convulsing and speaking in tongues, and the human mind is a powerful, strange thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Darren Brown could be making even more money.
Well, that's all the time we have for this episode.
Yes,
hopefully you're
enjoying your skiing.
Yes. Hope I make it back.
I should plug, it's ages away, but I've got a Soho Theatre run coming up this year. It's on my... is it on my Instagram? It's on my website. And then I've got a tour in autumn, and I'll be at the Fringe. Those are my only plugs.
Ooh, excellent. I'm at the Hammersmith Apollo on the 23rd of February. And if you're in Northampton, and I'm in Northampton on the 20th of February. Scum to those.
Yeah. And now it's time to go to the mega church of the bonus pod.
Yes. See you there. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.